Hi, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to do a commentary on day 79. It is Luke chapter 19, verses 3 and 4. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. I underlined the first thing, I underlined it was the first part. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man. Before I became born again, there was a deep longing that drew me to Jesus. I did not even realize that I was being drawn, but as I look back now, I realize that I was. I was a lot like Zacchaeus. I was trying very, very hard to see Jesus, but I didn't even know who Jesus was, really. I didn't even know it was him that I was seeking, to be honest. I knew that I was in recovery. My experience that I have shared before said I was in 12-step recovery. Even though I had traditionally been a Christian, I was not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I had certainly been brought up in the Christian traditions. As a, you know, my mother was a Christian, and so was my father. But as they say that, in Christianity there are no grandchildren, that we really have to make that decision to follow Jesus ourselves, that other people cannot do it for us. So I had to eventually come to an understanding of who he was, and it wasn't until I had been in recovery, actually, that I got to the point that things cleared up enough that I knew that something was wrong. And what happened is that I got abstinent. And I was abstinent for 4 years, and really going along, doing my steps, working my steps, doing all I could do. And yet I was still feeling so lost. Something was, in fact, it was getting worse, because the more the food was down, the more open I was to the realizing that something was wrong. I wasn't using anymore, so I couldn't cover it up. And so I had this deep longing. And I remember just asking people, you know, what am I supposed to do? And they were the ones that told me, you know, to keep praying. And I did. I kept praying. And I'm telling you, the Lord brought me to the foot of the cross. I had that deep longing. So I was like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a short man. He wanted to see Jesus, and he was told that, you know, Jesus was passing by, you know. And so he wanted to know him, and I wanted to know him. And that even though I was, like I said, working a rigorous program, I still experienced apartness. And I realized that nothing can fill up that gap between God the Father and me except Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And so I needed that. I needed to know him in order to have that. In that reading, in that Luke 19, 3 to 4, it goes on to say, he says, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. This made me think about what kept me once I heard, you know, about Jesus, and why I, you know, what kept me from even, you know, coming to him even sooner. Because as I think back, being in a church, I'm sure I must have heard the gospel message, but I could be wrong. But I remember one time J. Vernon McGee, he was talking about what really keeps people away from accepting Jesus as Lord. And he said, what really keeps us away is that we want to keep sinning. We love our sin too much to want to let it go, you know. And so when I read about he could not see because of the crowd, it made me think again about holding on to my sin, instead of, letting the Lord having complete control. I thought about the Pharisees, because in the story of Jesus throughout the Gospel, the Pharisees, they were very learned men, so they knew the Scriptures, and they knew that Jesus fulfilled the Scriptures, regardless of how much they wanted to fuss and fight and act as if they didn't know. They knew. And but they also enjoyed the position that they had of leadership. And they also liked the position that they had in the Roman government. They were fearful of what would happen, if Jesus became the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of their life, And so they had too much at stake to let go. And so there can be crowds in many people's lives. And that's why I try to let go of when I share the Gospel. My job is to share it, and I know that the Holy Spirit will help the person depending on the soil, where the seed falls. If the soil has been prepared, then the seed of the Gospel will take and flourish and grow, and God will cause the growth. And but my job is to throw out the seed, and so I pray that I will do that. It said about Zacchaeus that he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And I thought about recovery, and thought about recovery testimonies and how they work. I know that, like I said, I was in the 12-step rooms, and I can remember being one who was trying to get abstinent, the physical abstinence that I was trying to get. And I hung on the words of people who had gone before me, because at the point when I came into the rooms for my physical recovery, I could not even put together one day. And this was after being in the program for 10 years. I had, when I came and I finally got abstinent in 1987, I had been in the rooms for 10 years. I had been, and the most abstinence that I had was 4 years, about 4.5 years, and then I got pregnant and started eating again and could not put together any abstinence. And then by the grace of God in 1987, we actually moved to New York City from Texas, and I came into a 12-step room of recovery of people who had physical abstinence, and boy did they have it. And I'm telling you, I sat there as only the dying could. I sat there and listened to their stories of recovery. I hung on their words, because I wanted recovery. I wanted to know how to stop eating. And so I listened to them, and I learned from them. And the same is true about my spiritual recovery, too, and how my testimony and the testimony of other people is very, very important. I thought back to something that I had read in the Bible in John chapter 4, where it talks about the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And in part of the story, it tells about how she goes back to the village, and she tells the people what she learned about the Lord, and how he had touched her life. And her testimony drew them to him. And from that, from that testimony, they themselves came, they came to find out more. And as they found out more, they actually started building their own testimony. That finally they got to the point that they said, that they actually didn't need her testimony anymore, because they had their own, that. But my testimony is very important, because it helps to draw other people to the Lord. And so I pray to witness well for the Lord, especially as I deal with people still in the rooms who don't know him yet. They are as I was. Thank God that there were people who knew the Lord that helped to encourage me in my walk, and I'm grateful for that, very, very grateful for that. In the reading, it's called Going to Any Length, and the last part of the first paragraph says about my physical abstinence, what I had to learn. It says it meant bringing back up, bringing back up, packing hostage meals, asking about ingredients in restaurants, choosing other menu items when ingredients were questionable or unknown. And I'm grateful. Like I said, many of us, if you're new, you'll find that we have different ways to abstain. And I honestly believe that the Lord gives it to us dependent on how bad we are, how bad we were. And so he handpicks our abstinence based on what we need, at the time. You'll find different ways, I said, of people abstaining, that some people have to have different things to do because of their medical needs. There are people who have medical situations that they have to abstain in a certain way. Some have just the way they're built and their makeup. For me, I had to have it very cut and dry, and so my abstinence might drive some people crazy, but it's definitely what the Lord has in mind for what I need. And this particular way of abstaining that I had, they told me that I had to have backup, meaning that if I was going somewhere and I wasn't sure what they were going to have, then I needed to have a meal already packed up. Even though they might have food there, if it wasn't what I was used to eating or what I needed to eat, then I couldn't. I would have to eat what I had brought, and or be willing to. Sometimes I would have to be willing to weigh and measure my food there. Again, but I was following what people who had gone before me had done. And that I'm finding is really important to my physical abstinence, that it requires practical skill. And I don't need to reinvent the wheel, but I do have to have the humility to learn from another. And so I do. I need a sponsor, and I need to sponsor. I need a sponsor because by working with a sponsor, I get that needed ingredients of humility. And learning how to work under good authority. And those things help me actually in my spiritual life. As I learn to put myself under good authority, in a physical abstinence, I'm finding that I need to do that also with the Lord. He is my authority. So when I read in the Word things that tell me that I need to change, I'm learning not to fight it. I don't fight it because I learned that actually in my physical abstinence, I didn't fight with my sponsor because I knew one thing, that she knew how to be abstinent, and I certainly didn't. And so when she told me to do certain things, I eventually learned how to just follow along, swallow it, and do it, and do what needed to be done. It's the same thing I'm learning also in my spiritual life, that when there are things in the Bible that are hard to do, I just pray for the Holy Spirit. Spirit, fill me up. Give me that willing heart. Grow me up so that I can get to that point to be obedient, and help me not to fight it as I'm waiting in that process, Don't fight it, to just accept, that this is going to be the program because it's God's program, it's His Word, and I certainly want that. I want His program. I don't want my own. Later on in the reading, we will have a prayer that Stephanie is going to read at the end. Part of that prayer, if you have the book, it says, I pray to go to any length to persevere and grow in my faith. I pray to do that. I certainly do. I pray to safeguard the growth that I have made in my relationship with the Lord, even though it might appear silly to other people. Just like I learned it in my abstinence, you know, that it's okay, you know, there will be a morning after where I will have joy, you know, but sometimes in the night before, it's hard. It's hard to have people, you know, think of me, quote-unquote, as a Jesus freak, or to, you know, turn up their nose as if I have an odor, because they can see the Lord in me, you know, and things like that. I have to let that go. That's just the way it is, you know. It's just the way it is. But I am growing to not be ashamed of the gospel. You know, it's the power of the Lord, and I'm grateful that He allows me to have it. And I will say one other thing. If you have the book, there has a part in it called Digging Deeper. And there, at the second bullet, it asks a question. It asks two questions, actually. It says, tell them a time when you went to any length to get abstinent food. Who encouraged or discourage you, and how did you feel later? And I find sometimes doing these exercises really are very helpful to me. And if you are struggling, you know, with your abstinence, if you find yourself, you know, jumping ship because people are either making fun of you or they're not encouraging you, then you might try writing about that. Like I said, I find that what I learned in my physical abstinence about, you know, sticking to my guns and doing what I know was important for me to do in my physical abstinence is teaching me a lot in my spiritual walk as well. But I'm going to stop there.